Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for this special time together. We worship you, for Jesus Christ is our God, Lord, and Savior. We thank you because you have powerfully delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. May his words restore us, strengthen us, and encourage us to move forward in his mission. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we're going to talk about God's mission. As I told you a few minutes before, I have not practiced to preach English many times, but I do my best. And today we're going to talk about the God's mission, specifically about some fundamental aspects, foundations of God's missions. Philippians' letter was written by Paul, who was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He was a great missionary who Jesus had risen up to carry the gospel forward. However, we won't focus a lot on the Apostle Paul today, Paul himself in this message. Today, I want to talk about the greatest partner of the great missionary who our Lord Jesus Christ raised up in the New Testament to carry, to move forward his mission. So I'm going to talk about Philippian church. But just to begin, it's very important to say what mission we're talking about. That mission is no church mission, it's no pastor mission, it's no missionary mission. This mission is God's mission. God has a mission. Ephesians chapter 1 and Titus chapter 1 say clearly, God, before the age began, before the foundation of the world, our triune God desired in his heart to have a people for him. So that's a God's mission, and God created all things. So Chris Wright is a missiologist and scholar. He says the missions, give me a second, please. Oh, sorry. The missions is no pretend to church, but pretend is God, because it's a God missions. That's very, very important for us to understand that. And in God's, when we think about the God's mission, we need to know that God's mission is grace. This seems to be a simple idea, and maybe it's something that everybody thinks they understand. But every single time that we encourage, my wife and I encourage people to participate in the God's mission, the majority of people think that when they engage in this mission, they are going to do a favor for God. Sometimes they don't say that, but they think and act like that. But this is completely wrong, because the missionary work that God calls us to be involved is a grace, is a tremendous grace. What is grace? Grace is a favor that you need from God, but you don't deserve it. So participating in God's mission isn't us to doing a favor for God. On the contrary, it's God who you do a favor for us, invite us to participate in his mission. Being here this morning, worship God is a grace. No one of you are doing you a favor for God being here this morning. Do you know why? Because God don't need us, but we need him. And that is why we are here. So missionary work itself, it's the grace of God. The passage that we read is actually a text that expressed gratitude from the Apostle Paul to God for the Philippian church. One of the major purposes of this letter the Apostle Paul wrote is to thank this church, that church, for its involvement in God's mission. He starts the first two chapters to thank you, Epaphroditus, and he was probably a ruling elder from the church who was sent to support Paul when he Apostle Paul was in prison. But now, in this last chapter, why in this last chapter? In order to give a great emphasis on this point, Paul is going to thank the entire church for their involvement in God's mission. It's amazing, because in this wonderful context where this church had engagement to God's mission, we're going to see three foundations about the God's missions. The first one is the missionary work, being involved in God's missions, is a serious commitment before God. The first point, being involved in God's missions is a serious commitment before God. You can say, but this is obvious. It's a basic point. I would say, yes. However, in my experience as a church planter, missionary, pastor for 18 years old, I would say that the church have failed in the simple points. So it's always good for us to go back to foundations, to the basic principles of the God's words. The work of mission is a very, very serious commitment before God. I normally say something when I talk with people, especially in Brazilian community, and they get scared. But I say, calm down, calm your heart, it's gonna be okay. What you say is in the Bible. So pay attention, please. Missionary work doesn't need your help. Missionary work doesn't need your help. No. It needs your commitment. It's not a little help here or there. It's a very serious commitment before God. For example, I see some sisters, ladies here today, and I was wondering if you may have problems if your kids about their behaviors or other situations, and I was wondering if you share that situation with your husband and ask him for help, and your husband say, oh honey, I'm sorry to hear about that. But I don't have time to help you to be involved, commitment, to raise our kids, because I have work a lot. You probably say, but honey, I need you. You need to help me. If you don't help me, I won't work out. So he says, okay, but let me pray first. And after a couple minutes, he comes back and says, God spoke with me. God spoke with me. And I decide, I'm going to help you to raise our children. However, I'm not sure how long or how committed I will be in order to help you to raise our kids. That's okay for you, ladies? Would that be okay for you? I don't know about American women, but if it was a Brazilian woman, probably you're going to grab a vase and hit him over the head. Please, no, don't do that. But it would be your desire, because your husband didn't wake up to see he doesn't have to help you, because it is his commitment as a father. Yes. It is his main responsibility. God speaks through the children. Oh, honey, are you helping? No, I don't need help. It's your community, your responsibility. That's why when we speak about mission and someone talks me about the help, it's very strange for me. Because all of us are called of the kingdom of the darkness into Jesus' marvelous light. We have a responsibility. And we need to be very committed with a great commission. In God's mission, to make disciples for his glory. When we look at the text or passage, this, we can see that very, very clear. For example, verse 14, where the Bible says, yet it is a kind of you to share in my trouble. It's interesting that what Paul thinks here, firstly, knows a material or financial gifts. What Paul thinks then, the Philippian church for at this point, is that in the most difficult times he went through, he most thought moments, tough moments in his mission. It may be when he thought about quitting that mission, Philippians church was with him sharing his trouble. This word here in the original language is not a little help. Doesn't mean a little help, but it's a partnership, sharing. The idea there is that the Apostle Paul is an army of the church. He is connected to the church. Truly, he is not someone sent by the church, simply. He is the church itself that's being sent by God to reach his elect in other place. So when Paul thanks Philippians church, it's not for a little help, but for being partners, very committed partners in his mission, because they truly understand that to be involved in God's missions is a serious commitment before God. The mission does not just belong to some missionary out there or some local church or some denomination. The mission is God's mission, and that's why we all need to be involved. This is why Paul says to them, thank you because you have been partners in God's mission with me. And now, the next verse, Luke, verse 15. Chapter 4, verse 15. And you, Philippians, yourselves know that in the beginning, the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into in partnership with me, in giving and receiving, except you only. The word here is partnership. It's no help, a partnership. Now, chapter 1, verse 5, in the beginning of the letter, Paulo tem que dizer to say, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Chapter 1, verse 7, it's right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of the grace, both in my imprisonment and in defense of the confirmation of the gospel. Yet, the word is a partnership. Every single time Paul is talking about the church's involvement in God's mission, he's not talking about a little help, but it's a very serious commitment before God. Very serious commitment before God. That's the first lesson we can see in our passage. The second point, the second foundation about the God's missions is to be involved in the God's missions is a living worship of God. It's a living worship of God. I remember when I was visiting churches in Brazil before my wife and I were sent as a missionary in Japan. We visited around 150 churches in Brazil in 2 years. There are many stories to tell you, but I have one very interesting to share with you now. Once a pastor told me, Diogo, I have heard you talking about mission in Japan. I have never heard about that. I'm very interested to know more about that. Can you come to my church and share about what God has done in Japan? And my answer, sure, you go there. So he said to me, but let me ask you an important question. Do you have some dramatic pictures or photos? And I asked him, what do you mean for dramatic photos and pictures? People dying, children who are bleeding, people are dying of hunger, something like that. I said, no. Unfortunately, no. And so he told me, I think it doesn't work because the members in my church only invest in missionaries who show dramatic pictures. I said to him, well, again, I don't have any dramatic pictures. And by the way, I'm a chubby guy. So I think I will not be an interesting missionary for our church. So I'm sorry. But to be serious, I got very sad. Because not only the church had a wrong motivation to be involved in God's mission, but sometimes pastors has the same wrong motivation to be involved in the mission. And I'm not saying, please, I'm not saying we shouldn't pay attention, take care about the people needs. I don't say that. But I say when we think about the God's mission, the first people who must be in our mind is not a man, but God. His glory. Once we put God in the first place, so the gospel will take care of the other needs. But God is our priority. God, His glory is our main reason to be involved in His mission. We cannot forget that. The mission is not a thinking like it from man to man. No. The mission is glorious. It's very important because it's a God's mission. Because missions glorify our God. That's the main point. But before we go any further into this matter of glorifying and worship God, I would like to draw your attention to verse 17. Because when they read the first time this passage, I could not understand why verse 17 is here. Let me read. Know that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit of that increases to your credit. Why did Paul stop it abruptly? Take the Philippian church about their partnership in God's midst, he says. Not that I seek the gift. Why? Why Paul did that? Why? I believe that Paul is dealing here primarily with critical people who persecute him, who are against advancing God's missions. Paul had to face these people, opposers, especially when he was in Corinthians, and they lie, slander, falsely accuse and persecute Paul. All this because they want to silence Paul so that we would no longer preach the gospel. I believe this kind of the people, critical people, they are in Philippians as well, among the Philippians as well. Because look with me, chapter 3, verse 17. Philippians, chapter 3, verse 17. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of the Christ. Who is these people? Make Apostle Paul cry in enemies of the cross. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and the glory in their shame with mind set on earthly things. But our citizen is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Did you see? The enemies of the Christ, the cross of the Christ, sometimes they are not outside the church, they are in the church. Sometimes we think the most dangerous enemies of the church are outside the church, but the Bible says that unfortunately many times they are inside the church. They are members, they are preachers, they sing, they may even assume some kind of the leadership, but in fact they are enemies of the cross of the Christ, enemies of God's missions. Do you know why? Because instead of they think about the God's kingdom, they only think about their own kingdom, own ministry, own their local church, own their lives, own their bellies. First me before God and his kingdom. That's the behavior for enemies of the Christ. You can come to church, praise, sing. Even in this way, we can be enemies of the cross of the Christ. Because in the first place, you don't put God in first place in his kingdom, but you put yourself. It's hard to hear that. I know, but this is God's word. We need to be confronted by our sins. Unfortunately, Paul had to deal with people like that throughout his ministry. That's why I believe he points out in the verse 17, "Know that I seek the gift." And he adds, "But I seek the fruit that increases to your credit." In other words, Paul means, I'm not here because of your financial support or to take advantage of you. But what really makes me happy is that this church has not become an empty religion where people come and do their religion that's a leave to think only about their own bellies, a wiki. Or I'm glad because this church has not become a club where people come here just to socialize with each other. But what I really seek and rejoice in is that this church understands that getting involved in God's mission is a living worship of God. That's my joy. That's my reason to be here. One more story. Once at the school, Sunday school, I watched a big problem, almost a fight into the church. I was talking about the mission of God, and someone asked me, "Pastor, which is more important, worship or mission?" Did you hear this question? Frequently or not? What's more important, worship, glorify God, or mission? So the war began. One person almost picked up the chair to hit the other. You know, the Latinos, hot blood, it's not easy. "No, the mission is more important." "No, the chief of end of man is to glorify God. It's worship is more important." When they all come down, they look at me, ask me, "Pastor, what's the most important, worship or mission?" And I said to them, "I don't answer wrong questions. I'm sorry." You haven't tried to answer wrong questions? Making more mess? But no, I don't answer a wrong question. We need to make a right questions. Have you ever tried to answer wrong? So let's make the correct question. Isn't mission the same as worship? That's a right question. When we were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's not worship to God? Doesn't that glorify God? Because when I look at Matthew 28, verse 19-20, this is the best way for true Jesus disciples to praise him. Look at how sad this is. The church of Jesus Christ itself has forgotten this truth. In other words, the church of Christ has forgotten that to preach and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ is a living worship of God. God is glorified when his people are proclaiming Jesus as a Lord, a Savior, to those doesn't know him. And you can share the gospel of Jesus to people who live on the other side of the world or across the street. that is a living worship to God. Let's look at the text, chapter 4, verse 18. I have received a full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleased to God. Do you see the point here? There are three very important expressions: fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, and pleased to God. These three expressions were used especially in the Old Testament to express a true worship service to God. Worship that God accepts and rejoices in. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, grabs these expressions and puts them in this context of the church partnership and God's mission. Do you know why? Because when we are committed and really involved in God's mission, so we glorify Him. That's the gospel. Jesus is the God, good news from the heaven. And when we look at Jesus and see the bad news and good news and the cross, so be engaged in this mission of preaching the gospel is a worship to God. In other words, if you want to really to praise our God, worship of God, you must be involved in His mission. The third and last point. The missionary work, or to be involved in God's mission, the missionary work will always be sustained, supported, and supplied by God. Let me say again. The last point, a very important point. The missionary work of God will always be sustained and supplied by God. That truth should bring a great joy and relief to our hearts. It's right? I say that because church planters, missionaries, and some believers who are very committed in God's missions don't have a lot of money. Is not true? Sometimes some of them are broken financially. And on the other hand, you know, that's very difficult to raise funds, especially nowadays. Especially when we're having members in church, just think about your bellies. Sometimes we have to lower our salaries and benefits for the mission to move forward. So many times our financial problems bring struggles, sadness, and trials into our hearts. But look at that good news. The one who will sustain, support the mission is not you, is not your money, is not your church, is not your denomination, but the one who will support the God's mission is their own God. This promise is direct from God. It's God who will supply all of your needs. And God can use it however He wants for this purpose. If you invest time, work, financial resources in God's mission, then thank the Lord, because it is the Lord Himself who provides you with all these resources. If you haven't been involved in God's mission, know that God's mission will continue if or if out you. However, don't forget that one day we will all be before God And he asked us what we did with the talents that he gave us to work on his mission. But again, God is the one who will always sustain his mission. My God, verse 19, my God, you supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Let me give an example about the church and we will close. Open your Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to see that church, Philippian church, provide that in practical way. They provide this promise in practical way. In order to understand that this promise was true in the life of Philippian church, we need to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 says, We want you to know, brothers, about the grace, one more time, involving God's mission's grace, about the grace of God that has been given among the church of Macedonia. Macedonia. The question, what church were in Macedonia? Did you remember? What was city in the beginnings of Macedonia? Philippians church, Philippians city. Sorry, Philippians church, city. Which is to say that this text in 2 Corinthians is taken about the Philippians. Hold on, to our seat, because what you see now are the two excuses that are most used by people who don't want to be involved in God's mission, which are actually two great characteristics of the Philippian church. See that. Sit, hold on your seats, prepare your hearts, because this is hard. The first characteristic of the Philippian church, and in the same time, the first excuse used by the ones who don't want to be involved in God's missions. Verse 2. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in wealth of generosity of their part. Pay attention here. In the middle of the severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty was made manifest. The first great excuse of the people who don't want to get involved in God's mission will be, oh, pastor, I want to be involved. How can I not do that? It's a God's mission, but I have been in my worst time of my life. There are a lot of problems in my life. There was a pastor once who told me, our church must be involved more in God's mission. However, we have passed through a tough moment. For example, church session is divided. The diaconal committee is fighting among themselves. The women are talking about having a prayer meeting, but they are getting together to gossip. The teenagers are getting worse, and they are going towards to the world. Even the children are causing many problems. There are tickets or fees we need to pay. We need to remodeling our building. We need to spend our parking lot. But, let's do this. I promise, once we have resolved all our issues, you can be certain we will find you and you will get involved with the mission. Serious? Really? I thought to myself, bring some water to this guy. He's going crazy. Are you serious? A church here on earth that has no problems? Really? That's the triumphal church. We are talking about the militant church. It's fights. You have a battle. Struggles. The holy enemies raise up against us. No problem here. Let me tell you something. If you think in this way, that you will solve all your problems, and so you will be involved in God's mission later, listen to this. You're gonna die, yes, you're gonna die, and you're never going to be involved in the God's mission. Because when you get involved in the God's mission, we're going to enter into struggle, trial, difficulties. That's how we grow. That is how our Lord did his mission. And that is how his disciples have always done it. Look at the entire letter of 2 Corinthians, and you see all the struggle the Apostle Paul had to go through. And what is fantastic here is that is in this text that we're reading, the grace partner that God rose up to support Apostle Paul is a church that is completely committed to God's mission, even though they are going through a severe test of affliction. It's the first characteristic of this church. The second one and the last. The second characteristic of this church, and the second excuse for those don't want to be involved in God's mission is, verse 2, for in severe tests of affliction, their abundance of joy, and their extreme poverty have overflowed in health and wealth of generous of their part. Are you paying attention to this passage here? What's the second characteristic of that church? Is it a poor? No. It's not a poor. The Bible says the Philippian church was extremely poor. It's not poor. Extremely poor. Could you imagine that? The great partner with Apostle Paul in the God's mission was a church which was extremely poor. There are two main words in Greek to describe poverty. The first one means someone is poor, but he has the basic needs to live, such as food, home, something like that. The second word for poverty is used to express that someone doesn't have anything to eat sometimes. The basic needs to live. Guess which word is being used there? Yes. The picture that comes up in my mind about the Philippian church is that sometimes the members of that church, they didn't even eat breakfast or a good breakfast. But they were meeting to worship to God and to think together about how they are going to move forward even more and support Apostle Paul in God's mission. The first time that I studied this passage in my life, I stopped everything. I called my wife. We read this passage again and we cried. We felt very shame. Do you know why? Because we were not poor. Now we are not poor. Especially in this country, we are not poor. Much less extremely poor. But let us be honest. We are mediocre. We are greedy. We don't truly love God's mission, because many times we offer to God just leftovers. Is not true? Sometimes we give to God only the rest, our time, our efforts, and money. We look at what God has done for us. He points us out. Philippians church may be the poorest church in the Holy New Testament, in order to humiliate us and show us the many times we are not involved in his mission as we could be. So, the second characteristic of this church is that this church that's extremely poor. And it is also the second greatest excuse of the people who don't want to get involved in God's mission. They say, I want to engage in God's mission, but I'm poor. Really? Show me biblically that these are excuse, a good excuse, not to get involved in God's mission. Show me biblically, because I show you a church extremely poor, but it's very committed with God's mission. I'm sure, church that was extremely poor, but on the other hand, that church, Philippians church, is extremely rich of the gospel. They were rich in their vision about God's kingdom and his mission. And I think that is why God is using that church, Philippians church, to call us, encourage us to be more involved in his missions. No, there's no excuse for us. We are going to read these last three verses in 2 Corinthians, and we will done. And then we are going to close the sermon. Verses 3 to 5. For they gave according their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. Pay attention to what he says here. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means. Unfortunately, most of the believers don't even do what they can do. On the contrary, they do much less they can do. To even think about going beyond your means, this would be crazy. But he continues, they show themselves to do this voluntarily. Once a pastor grabbed me by shirt to pull me over and told me, come over here. I will get good partners for you. And say, oh, you have a rich guy here. Come over here. Jogo need your help. Please, don't do that. Don't do that. You embarrass me a lot. That's not the way that God works. Because that church has many problems, many afflictions, extremely poor. But that church was begging, Paul, please let me be involved in God's mission. It's very sad when we need to implore for members in church to be involved in missions. It's ridiculous. But that's happened. It happened a lot. That's why I think it's very important for us to remind passages like that. It's not good to hear, but it is good for our soul, our mind, our hearts, reminded God's words. More 2 minutes, I promise, I finish. Oh, 4 minutes. Look at verse 5. And this not as we expect, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. The biggest offering of the Philippian church was their selves. In other words, Lord, I'm here not for my own plans, my own lives, but God, we are here for serving you in your kingdom. You are here truly for being involved in your mission. You are our priority. It's true. They didn't only say that, they proved that. This is the last verse. Look at what the text is saying. They did this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first. Are you understand what it's saying there? Here? These people who are crying out to God, saying they want to get involved in this mission. And truly, the great gift that they are giving to God and his mission is no financial, no emotional support, but it's themselves, your lives, their lives. They were the first offering to God and his mission, and then the foundation explained it. It's the first to God, and according to the will of God, it's also for those who are lost. Thinking and consider, conclusion. There are two questions for us to end if. There is no justification for you not to be involved in God's mission. So my question is, are you involved in God's mission? It's a personal question. It's no church question. It's a personal question. Are you involved in God's mission? I'm not asking about your father, your mother, your pastor, your leaders. I'm asking personally for you. Are you involved in God's mission, or you have used excuses like that? Are you truly involved in God's mission? Are you diving into it? Or are you using some of these excuses? I have many problems. I'm poor. The second point is the only those who truly love Jesus will be really involved in his mission. I'm certain of one thing, that a church that does not love God's mission can have a worship service. They can sing. They can have a good sermon. But they will lack one thing, to be involved in God's mission. The church who truly loves God will be involved in his mission. And my hope is that church, West Valley Church, can be a church very committed with God. You have problems? Me too. Could you imagine planting a church among immigrants in Philadelphia? We don't have money. Me too. Sometimes I don't have. Marx knows that. However, we have a great commission which Jesus gave to us. If we don't have biblical excuse, we don't have. So I believe this morning God has called us to remember how serious is to be involved in his mission. If we are truly Jesus' disciple, we must be involved in his mission. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the privileges and the great honor you gave to us to be a part in your mission. Thank you for that. It's a grace from you. However, Father, we need to confess, sometimes we don't care about your mission. We have sinned against you. So, Father, please forgive our sins. And put in your hearts, in your minds, a holy desire to serve your kingdom, to preach the gospel, to be more involved in your mission. Help us, support us. We desire to see your glory being manifest more and more among those who don't know you. Please, God, support our faith in you and give us a missionary heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.